Bibles once again and turn with me to the Gospel according to John chapter 17. John 17. I'd like to read verses 3 through 5. John 17, 3 through 5. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. We looked at verse 3 last time. And then that precious verse out of this precious chapter. We are told the very essence of life eternal. I read that verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they, who, which they, well, the Lord did not, even in His high priestly prayer, leave that open-ended. Look at verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. We love God's electing grace. We love it. We love it. We love it. Let me tell you why. We love it. Number one, it is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. Now, just someone say, well, I just don't believe in election. Well, God declares it. You're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God Almighty has an elect. We love it. It's of the Lord. Number two, this is the only hope we got. If the Lord had not left us a remnant, if the Lord had not chosen a remnant, setting His affection eternally upon His people, there wouldn't be any need for us to be here this morning. We're just wasting our time. You know why? If God had not left a remnant, we'd all be just like Sodom and Gomorrah. If God had not chosen a people, took the guilt and sin, the debt of those people, those elect that the Lord said, I laid down my life for, John 10:15. I laid down my life for the sheep. If He didn't die and put away the guilt of the sheep, we're all going to hell. And there's no reason whatsoever. Just go out and do whatever you want to today, because we're going to hell. The Lord said, this is life eternal, that they, those that You've given Me, might know Thee, the only true God, God Almighty, who is holy, just, sovereign, and there's a mediator. There's a substitute. There's a Savior, Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. This is life eternal, I'm calling still. I'm calling. Come to the wedding. Come to Christ. 1 John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God is come." Why? He come to seek and to save that which is lost. Who? Those that thou hast given him. Look at verse 9. The ones he prays for. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. They are thine. Now listen. This is the one right here in whom alone we have hope. There's no other hope. There's no other hope. This is the one. This is he. This is the Lord. And I know that man by nature despises what he said. I know that they reject. I'm not going to have that God rule over me. But listen. What we're doing this morning is we are setting forth what God has to say. And you that sit here, you know this. I'm not making this up. Now you know that. I haven't come up with this. I'm just telling you what God has to say. 1 John 5:20, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. We understand some things. That we may know Him that is true. This is the true God. And we are in Him that is true, that is faithful, that is just. God alone can pull away sin. I can't, you can't. The Lord puts away sin. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. This is eternal life. God the Father has given unto the Son all power that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given Him. Knowing God is by the glorious power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all power. Let me tell you something, right? We looked at this last Wednesday night. How much power does it take to regenerate a sinner? How much power does it take? I'm telling you, we're not even going to go and start talking about maggots like us. We're going to have to quickly bypass that. Let me tell you the power it takes. You might say, well, give your heart to Jesus. He's going to have to give Himself to you. He's going to have to come in power. How much power does it take to regenerate a sinner? The Scripture says in Ephesians 1:19, the same power that it took to raise Christ from the dead and to seat Him at the right hand of the Father. Now, let me ask you something. Is there anybody sitting here who's got that kind of power? Knowing God is by the glorious power. How much power did it take? All power. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto the Son. All power. You know how much that leaves me? None. Almighty God is pleased to reveal Himself. This is life eternal, that they might know, be sure, entrust themselves, cast themselves upon, that they might know Thee. 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Knowing Him by faith, not knowing about him. When I say no, I do not mean the knowledge that a devil has. Demons know that there's a God. I'm talking about committing myself, casting myself as that one of those four lepers in the gate of Samaria. Where are we going? Famine here, and those in power over there. We'll cast ourselves. We need mercy. Knowing Him, trusting Him, casting yourself upon His mercy. And I'm telling you, I'm going to expose my heart just a second. I'm telling you, as I'm saying these words, Dave, I'm asking God help me to do this. I'm telling you right now, I know just as sure as I'm standing here, I can quote these words, and but for the grace of God, they'll be the most empty words that I've ever said if God Almighty does not empower them to my heart. Faith cometh by hearing. I need faith right now. I need for the Lord to help me right now. He that cometh unto me, Lord, draw me. Lord, draw me. And draw me in my next breath, draw me. Knowing Him, trusting Him is the foundation of all of our hope. Casting all of our care upon Him, He careth for you. You have a heart for Him, and I'm talking about to bring nothing. He careth for you. He's given you a heart for that. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What a sweet passage of revelation. I finished the work. The Lord in His high priestly prayer rendered, set forth, declared the Father glorious. In the Father's thoughts to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever He would. Remember when Moses asked that? I love that passage. Show me Your glory. I'll have mercy. Oh, what a glorious thought. What a glorious word. What a glorious grace. I'll have mercy. Almighty God, Psalm 19:1 has been glorified in creation. The heavens declare, or they are declaring, the glory, the will, the purpose, the thinking of Almighty God's ability to create and control. By the grace of God, you know what's going to happen in the morning? The sun's going to come up. The sun's coming up in the morning by God's grace. If He tarries, the sun's coming up. How do you know? Because He said it's going to come up. Season's going to be the same. You know, stars are going to be out tonight if the clouds are not there. If He doesn't send clouds, we'll see the stars. The heavens declare the handiwork of God. He's glorified. God Almighty is glorified in His providential dealings with the world. Exodus 15, 6 and 7 says, Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of Thine excellency, Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against Thee. Thou sendest forth Thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. But here, He's declared glorious in creation and in providence. But here the Lord says in 17:4, I've glorified thee on the earth and I've finished the work thou gavest me to do. The Lord Jesus Christ obediently accomplished the will of His Father. John 6:39, this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me. Do you notice how the Lord never gets away from God's mercy to His elect. Never. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. God the Father purposed to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever He would. Is God unjust to leave a man alone, to leave a woman alone, to do what they want to? No. No. God Almighty can leave a person to themselves and let them do just exactly what they want to do and send them to hell. And He's just. Now, let the potsherds of this world, let them argue with the potsherds, the broken pieces of pottery. Let the broken pots argue as long as you want to. It's not going to change one thing. Almighty God has mercy. If my prayer for me, my prayer for you, Lord, show mercy to me. Lord, don't leave me to myself. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have magnified Your thoughts, is what He's saying, to show mercy. And now, verse 5, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. You know what He was praying? Father, as I have magnified You in the accomplishment of the work that You gave me to do, I pray now, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. He has always been the surety. He's always been the bridegroom of the bride. He's always been her mediator before she was ever brought into existence. He ever answered for her. You say, forever? The blood was shed. God saw it from before the foundation of the world. Why? Because He always stood for her. Never been a time. Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory that I had with Thee as the substitute before the world was. Magnify me, glorify me as the one who accomplished Your will in the putting away, according to our everlasting covenant of grace, the debt owed to the law that was broken for Your honor and Your glory. Father, deal with me now on their behalf. That's what He's saying. Deal with me. Deal with me. Glorify Thou me with Thine own self. God the Father, in just a little bit, the Scripture reveals we're going to forsake the Son. But I'm going to tell you this. He would do so in perfect agreement and in fellowship with the Son. Now, I can't understand the depth of that. But God is just. But that's His Son. That's His Son. This is the beloved Son in whom the Father is well pleased. And God does not change. God's attitude doesn't change. The Lord Jesus Christ, though forsaken of the Father and the Son are one. One in purpose, one in will, one in mind, one in love, they're one. Glorify Thou me with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Not the glory of His human nature. That That didn't come until time. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 of John 1 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." But there was something he's talking about that has ever been. He's ever stood in his essential glory as the substitute. Turn to Proverbs 8, and I'm going to read verses 22 to 31, and I'm going to close. Proverbs 8, we went through this, of course, we're going through Proverbs. Oh, listen to this. Here's the glory that he had with the Father before the world was, as the substitute, as the surety, as the mediator, before he ever actually was joined to human flesh. Before that, he's always been. There's never been a time when there was not the surety. Proverbs 8:22. "I was set up. I was anointed from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth." The word there is made. I've always been. "When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." And listen to this now. This is this last verse. This is when there was nothing else but God. There was nothing but God. Before he said all of these, before the earth, before the cloud, before the fountain, before. What were they doing? Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. "And my delights were with the sons of men." Rejoicing with them and in them. You know who this is? This is the bridegroom. This is the Master. This is the Lord of glory. "Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work that you gave me to do. And now, glorify thou me as the substitute, the one's going to pay their debt and put away their sin, robe them in righteousness, present them to you, unblameable, unreprovable, without spot, without blame. Glorify thou me with the glory that I had with you before the earth was." Lord, bless these words to our heart, for Christ's sake.